That was fast.
Yep.
I could go by that. The June 1st committee meeting of facilities, golf parks, highways. And we have two new members here this evening, two new youth governors. So we'll do some introductions tonight. And if you forget names, just look at your minutes that you'll get next month and you'll remember. I'm Dennis Elverman, I'm the chairman of the committee, and I will go from me this way. Everybody introduce themselves, and I want you folks to introduce yourselves to us, and we'll start the meeting.
Boy, if I read, I'm a county board supervisor.
John Rooney, director of Rush County Parks.
Welcome, I'm Dan Dreyer, I'm the general manager of golf.
Ray Arbett, the public works director.
Frank Martinelli, engineering project manager.
Gary Sipsma, director of division of highways.
Wendy Ebbing, public works assistant.
Mike Schrant, facilities manager.
Hi, I'm Rose Carrillo.
I'm Eddie Carondo, I'm a junior at Westosha Central High School, and this is my second term on youth governance.
I'm Bill Grady, county board supervisor.
I'm Mike Skolitsky, county board supervisor for District 19.
John Poole, county board supervisor for District 20, which is medically concerned. So we've done our roll call then. Everyone is in attendance. The next item would be approval of our previous meeting's minutes. If everyone has had a copy of those, had a chance to read them, if I get a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Poole, seconded by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any discussion, questions? You guys, did you get these?
I think I had them.
Makes no difference. I'm just going to give you the opportunity to vote on them, so you can. All those in favor of youth and governance?
Aye.
Opposed? Committee?
Aye.
All right. The minutes are approved. Chairman, committee members, supervisor, youth and governance. The first meeting that you folks are at, you're going to hear a lot of things here this evening. Facilities, naturally, are all the buildings, properties that the county owns. So that's a big portion of this committee. This committee used to just be highways and parks. We have two county golf courses. So you'll hear from the director of golf courses this evening. Mr. Rudy, you'll hear what we have working in all these committees as far as projects, parks, highways. Some of the things that you'll hear will be things that will happen 3 and 4 years from now, because the planning on those things takes that long, when you get into bridge work and things like that. At facilities, we have sometimes a series of projects going on that could be 8, 9, 10, some small, some large, such as a new building being done. Right now, we're in the planning stage. You folks will be here for this. Oops, broke your pen, boy. For this year, and this year is going to be a big one because we are doing a huge reconstruction and addition at the county-owned nursing home. So you're going to hear a lot about that. You'll hear about buildings, parks, highways, some exciting things, some very mundane things, but it's there's a lot. And this committee, and I've been at this for a long time now with the county, and this committee now handles more than any committee in the county. I mean, you're talking about some major, major departments, so you should have an interesting time. So we will go to any committee members that would have anything this evening. Then, citizens' comments, and I know the room well enough to know there's no citizens here. So we'll go to division reports, and we vary these. We give the folks a little bit different timing. So tonight we start with facilities. Mike, Fran.
Okay. Start out with Kemper Shoreline. That was a cleanup project with 30 volunteers from Journey Church. We did this three Sundays ago on May 17th. They came down in two different groups of 15, spent about two and a half hours each picking up debris, mainly straightening out the riprap piles that we had dumped with the skid steer motor and made it look very rough. So what was accomplished by this is that riprap from the north of the pier to the property line was was kind of straightened out and looks much, much better. It was a very worthwhile project to do. I kind of had my doubts with all the kids and women that were there, but there were enough guys to get up on the riprap and throw boulders around for 4 hours total.
You'd like maybe you could tell the new people here what the Kemper Center is.
Kemper Center is it's an old school, high school, I think, well, probably elementary, too. Women's, I believe, right? Specifically women's?
Right.
That from a long time ago that the county now owns. And they have inherited it, are taking care of it. It has an independent board that rules the place. County chips in a certain amount of funding every year, and they run themselves with that money and with our help, too, quite a bit. Anything that big comes up there, we lend our support and try and help them along. But it's a very nice place if you've never been there before. You should go down and look at it.
That's one of our county parks.
Right. Yep, basically it is. So what's left to do there, north of the pier again, is to fill some sinkholes that were left from the storm. And facility is going to take care of that this week. We'll fill them up with some soil, level them out and seed them. So that'll take care of it. It should be pretty much back to normal. The other thing to report on is staffing for facilities. Last meeting I reported we had 2 full-time positions open. We filled one of those, and the other position, the fellow took his physical today, so we should be hearing on that, and I would anticipate be up to full staff pretty soon.
Very good. Anybody have any questions for Mike? If not, we'll move on to facilities again with Frank Martinelli.
Welcome. If you have any questions, please feel free through the chair. Just following up on the KCAP project.
I want you to say what that is. I hate those 4 letters.
Yeah, it's the Kenosha County Administration Building. It's down at 1010 56th Street. It houses the Register of Deeds, the Clerk of the County, the Treasurer. The county board meets there, and the county executive, chief of staff, are all housed in that building. It's a historic building, and we did a historic restoration of the entire outside of the building, limestone, brick. We excavated around the perimeter because we were getting water in the basement, waterproofed it. Quite a large project, $2.5 million altogether. We did roof, we did heating and cooling on it. It was very, very comprehensive, and that project really is at the tail end, and we're down to punch list items, warranty items, things like that, that the contractor needs to finish to get his final payments. So that's kind of the point we are with the project, and that's where updating the committee on that. They've made progress on the punch list. One of the big things was all the windows got the scratches out of them to our to the acceptable criteria, and they've got one panel they just need to replace, a small one. So we've got that out. We've got a few things with the cooling tower that we think we're getting taken care of, and we're looking at the north entrance, things we can do with some epoxy coatings, things like that. Any questions on that?
How long has that project been underway?
Well, it started actually spring of last year. It started spring of last year, and we completed all the major portions of it before the end of last year. The winter came in a little early. We had Midwest shortage of concrete. We had a shortage of stone. So we were dealing with a few things, but it was all open. It remained. One of the challenges was we had to keep it open for both the public and the employees through this whole thing. Like I said, we had to excavate around the whole perimeter, so we kept it open. But all of the doorways, everything, were open. Parking lots were open. We concluded the project in the late fall. There's no other questions, I'll move on to the building demolition projects. Again, the county inherited several buildings downtown along the 56th Street. One of them is the old unemployment building. People referred to it like to that. It's actually, there's an empty lot just west of the administration building. The administration building is just west of the courthouse downtown on 56th Street. So there's an empty lot. There's a home there that the county purchased and tore it down. And then there's an employment building that's next to that, which has been vacant for,
long time. 15 years, I would think,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah. So it's part of a master plan that the county exec put together. We're going to be demolishing that building. And also, we're demolishing another building that we took by tax deed further down 56th Street. And by doing them at the same time, we can get a better price. And once we're done with that, we anticipate to be done with that unemployment building by July 10th. And then we currently have a plan into the city for them to review for creating a larger parking lot next to the administration building, utilizing this space tearing down the employment building. That right now is in review to the city. We're estimating to get approval by July 1st. And having these buildings, at least the unemployment building, down by July 10th, and then we're kind of paralleling going out for bids during that period of time, so that we're looking to get to start construction the beginning of August and to complete it by the beginning of October. Any questions? That's really it for my portion.
Very good. Thanks, Frank.
Just a question before we leave, Frank.
Yep.
Is it true that we're really done with the 60th Street Tower? We're not going to see that on our agenda anymore? We're all finished with that?
You know what? Actually, that actually slipped by. We just last week, they got the curb. They took the curb out. They put the apron out. They put all that in. They roughed it all in. They just need to do the finish grading and the seating for that. So, yeah, yep. Good point.
We were hoping it was going to be done Friday and then today, but they've got, just like Frank said, the finish stuff. All the concrete work's done, thankfully.
A lot of rain came in Friday.
Yeah.
The whole stretch.
Thanks, Frank.
Good point.
So many of our projects, even though we're the county and everything that we own is within the county, what we're trying to do with the administration building and courthouse, just like a college does, we have a campus there, we have the jail, we have everything. We're trying to expand the campus because that's the only one we have. We'll never recreate that. So these buildings that we have purchased and are tearing down are going to be for expansion. Parking is a big deal down there. Also, we're running out of room for some of the departments and trying to keep things close. And we run into a thing that Frank mentioned, permits. Even though we're the county, we're in the city with these buildings, so we have to go through the city for permits. And so even though we know everything that we're doing and we've got all our plans and things, we still have to wait. And then eventually we get our permits and we start our project. So those buildings that are going to be torn down are all going to be future sites for county government. But we'll move on to Mr. Sisman for highways.
The first item involves adjustment to speed limit on Highway E. We are in the process of designing a replacement bridge for the Pike River Bridge on Highway E. It's located about a half a mile west of Highway 31. That bridge was built in 1929, and its useful life is gone. So anyways, we're in the process of the design. As part of that project, we applied for and received 80% federal funding for that replacement. When you accept federal funds, you also accept their design criteria to
design and build the bridge. So as part of that criteria, the barrier walls that are built on the sides of the bridge are the design of those is based on the speed limit of the highway. And currently the speed limit is 45 miles per hour, which requires a 3-foot wide concrete barrier wall on each side of the bridge. We looked at options that would be available to us, and we found that by using a steel railing, which we actually prefer because it's much easier for snow clearing, we could reduce the width of the bridge by about 6 feet. Now, as part of that design, we had to lower the speed limit to 40 miles per hour. They would not allow the steel railing type design at a 45 mile an hour speed limit, but they would at 40. By reducing the width of the bridge by 6 feet, it doesn't sound like much, but there is a considerable cost savings associated with the construction. It's about $26,000 less construction cost. And there also is a sanitary sewer buried adjacent to the bridge that would likely be impacted and have to be relocated by the wider structure, and we won't have to do that for sure with the narrower structure. And then, in addition, there would be a little bit less right of way that we'd have to acquire. So, what we're requesting tonight is to reduce the speed limit on the segment of Highway E from Highway EA to Highway 31 from 45 miles per hour to 40 miles per hour. It's a reduction of 5 miles an hour. It's based solely on the bridge design. There's other pending developments out in that area that likely would also require a speed reduction, but at this point, this request is just to accommodate that new bridge design. And a lot of our speed ordinances need a little bit of tweaking, a little updating, a little bit. The descriptions were a little bit misaligned over the years. So I also took this opportunity to take a look at all of the descriptions of all of the Highway E speed zones in the town of Somers, and I just tweaked them a little bit, just basically housekeeping things. So the impact to the public is just the reduction in that 5 miles an hour. It's about a 3/4 mile segment of Highway E between EA and 31.
Chairman.
Yes.
Quick question here. I'm very familiar because I'm up and down that road a lot. So it's 35 at just a little bit west of 100, right?
Correct.
Until just past EA at least.
Correct.
Goes up to 40. And then when does it go back down to 35, or does it jump up to 45 on the east side of 31?
45 the east
okay.
of 31, and then stays 45 all the way to 32.
And it's amazing to me with regards to speeds. People come up 31, they come up up the hill, okay, in the east, because they're going, a lot of them are going down to the campuses, okay? They are not doing 45, and they're not, certainly not doing 35, and I don't mean to mix or muddy the water. Would it at all make any sense to, since this section is going to be 40, to make this section between, and I don't even know if we can do it, say 100th, just west of 100th, all the way to Highway H, 40? And I don't know if we can do it. I'm just asking because right now, 35 is seldom adhered to. I mean, they could sit there every day, day in and day out, and collect a lot of speeding fines on that road.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that I certainly could look into. I wouldn't. I hesitate to give you a recommendation just off the top of my head. Charlin High School was there, and there's the proximity of all those driveways in the area between H and EA, so and the fire department and that. So I really need
to
look at it.
I was just thinking like how we did with Highway H, where we kind of made it a little bit more consistent because you didn't know which speed zone you were in. Yeah. But if it's 40 up. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to approve.
So, we have a second.
Second.
Move a second to approve the speed limit changes. Any discussion? Questions?
Would changing the width of the bridge affect the longevity? Or it's.
It would not, no. The substructure is really. What gives the bridge the strength and the design of the substructure, basically the foundation of the bridge would not change at all.
Mr. Chairman, just a question.
Yes.
You know what drops from both sides, because of course the creek is there, is there any part of the plan where you would raise the road at all or just replace the bridge?
We're raising it, but just slightly, just about 6 inches, because it affects the hydrology and the hydraulics of the bridge, of which we have to, by DNR requirement, we have to identically design this match to what is, so there's no impact upstream or downstream to the river.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? If not, ask for a vote. You, the governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
So we'll have an original here that we'll have to sign. So then here you have
a couple
land dedication.
Yeah, I was approached by our county planning and development division about some tax deed parcels of land that they have throughout the county. They were looking at trying to clean up some of these parcels that are unbuildable and adjacent to the highways, and to see if we couldn't get those properly dedicated as highway right-of-way. So they identified several parcels adjacent to Highway K in the village of Paddock Lake, where there is an existing 33-foot right-of-way, but the actual right-of-way width that would be required for future use on Highway K is 60 feet. So basically, these parcels are unbuildable, and currently under ownership of the county. So the Planning and Development Department asked if we would accept those parcels as right-of-way for any future reconstruction of Highway K through that area. We don't currently have any plans for the reconstruction, but it does provide that additional right-of-way should that construction occur in the future. So another parcel, similar situation, is on Highway F near Highway KD in the village of Twin Lakes. Another unbuildable parcel adjacent to Highway F that would be used as future highway right-of-way. I've reviewed these. I agree that it's in the county's and the public's best interest to go ahead and dedicate these as highway right-of-way at some point in the future when those roads are improved. They would need to be acquired at that point. So this resolution basically changes the designation of these parcels from just county-owned parcels to highway right-of-way. There's no cost or funds involved in this. It's just basically a transfer of the future use of these parcels.
Any questions for Gary?
Questions?
Bill? Sure.
Do we have much in the way of maintenance in terms of mowing or grading or anything associated with taking these parcels on?
It basically wouldn't change because they're already county owned and we're out and we're required. Actually, in many cases, I'm not sure about these particular parcels, but in many cases, the county clerk has to hire somebody to maintain these various tax deed parcels. In this case, when they become highway right of way, they just become part of our standard mowing routine through these areas, and we would just maintain them as we do.
So not significantly different from what we're doing now?
Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If anything, less maintenance, because we wouldn't be hiring it if it's outside of our normal mowing pattern and just be preparing for until we need it. Anything else? Any questions for you? If not, could we have a motion to
move you approve?
Supervisor Zelisky, motion. Second. Second by Supervisor Frederick. Any questions? Discussion? Through the governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. We have a little discussion to join with the town of Wheatland in attacking the state.
Yeah, this is not a ordinance or a resolution. This is a request by the Town of Wheatland Board. They have recently passed their own resolution requesting the Wisconsin Department of Transportation to do some improvements on State Trunk Highway 83 north of Highway 50. State Trunk Highway 83 is a important route in western Kenosha County, and it's important in the respect that it's a direct route to the city of Burlington, which provides a lot of services and businesses and shopping and work for a lot of people in western Kenosha County. That section of highway had some incredibly severe winter damage to it, and we went out and tried. It was bumps, just bump, 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 bump. Almost undrivable at the regular speed limit. We went out and ground down those bumps as part of our maintenance activities that we do for the state. We were pretty successful in smoothing it out. It's still pretty unpleasant to drive on. But what we did when we ground those bumps out is we took a lot of the structure out of the pavement. So now the pavement wherever we ground is weakened, and the state has proposed to just go over and put a seal coat on there, you know, which is just No structural strength whatsoever. It might preserve the pavement slightly from a water penetration standpoint, but not in either the town's or my opinion the proper way to address the
the weakened pavement structure. So the town actually took it upon themselves to pass a resolution requesting the DOT put a thicker asphalt overlay on that section of Highway 83. I personally agree with what the town has recommended. I think it's in the long run, it's far more cost effective than trying to continuously patch and repair the weakened pavement out there. So the town asked if the committee would support the resolution, and if so, I drafted a letter to the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation supporting the town of Wheatland in their request for a thick overlay on Highway 83, and if you do support that, there would just be a letter from signed on behalf of the committee by the Chairman Elderman and myself.
Are there any questions for Gary on that? Bill?
When I read through this, you know, we've got a couple of things that send some warning flags up. The town of Wheatland in their petition to the state cites underground springs in the area, and the idea of a 3-inch overlay would be more than just a band-aid seal coating, as they term it. Does that really address the problem? I mean, if there's unstable soil conditions and we go over with 3 inches of asphalt, right, is that really going to remediate the problem? Or are we going to be in the same situation down the road?
It's a good question. I mean, there obviously is a reason that there was so much severe winter damage, and that's what causes that is the moisture in the ground when it freezes and does cause the damage to the pavement. The problem is that road is not that old. It was just reconstructed less than 10 years ago. And to have it reconstructed again, which is what basically you're looking at to fix a groundwater problem, it's just not going to happen.
Not going to tear it up?
No, they're not going to. It's not going to get rebuilt. So you're either, basically, you're either going to live with what we have now, or you try to resolve it by putting a thicker overlay of asphalt on there. But it's not going to get rebuilt. But,
yeah. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to editorialize here for the benefit of our youth and governance. This is an issue between the town that's petitioning the state. This is really a state highway, it's a state right away. We in our own minds know the best way of addressing, we think, of this, but we know the state's not going to pay for it. So we can basically support the town and make the recommendation to the state, take a look at this, let's fix it to the best of our ability. But if it was a county road, Gary would have his own way of making sure that it was engineered properly and it wouldn't be recurring problems. That's my comment.
Yeah, this is a state highway, major road. If you live out, you know, east of here, it might not be all the road, but it goes up to the Conowoc, I-94. It's heavy truck traffic. Nestle's is a big firm in Burlington. A lot of everything, commerce that travels this. So, support from the committee, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Poole. We sent a letter in accord with the town of Wheatland. Governor?
Aye.
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 Just a few quick items under reports.
I received a letter from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation today indicating the intersection of Highway 50 and O.
Thank you.
The state is going to be installing traffic signals this summer. In fact, the project will begin within the next few weeks. A little bit surprised at the speed of this project occurring, but they apparently have determined an expedited need for signals at that intersection, and they are moving forward with that. So the biggest impact initially will be that if you're on Highway 50, there will be no left turns onto Highway O during the course of the construction. Of course, once the project's done and the new traffic signals are installed, there will be new left turn lanes installed. On the county side, the Highway N, Des Plaines River Bridge project is beginning tomorrow. That is a replacement of that bridge, and that bridge currently has a 10-ton weight limit on it, which basically restricts it to restricts everything except cars and light trucks onto it. So when the new bridge is in, it'll be back open to accommodate all the type of vehicles that are allowable on a county trunk highway. So that project should be done about August 7th or so. So obviously the Highway N east of Highway 45 will be closed until that time. And then Highway S, railroad crossing, the long saga of the crossing appears to be coming to an end, that the UP Railroad has agreed to replace the crossing, and should be occurring late June, early July. They have a little change in their management at the railroad, so they're sorting things out from a management standpoint. But I've been met them on site, and they indicated that the crossing would be replaced in that time frame. So that's good news. Unfortunately, the road will need to be closed for about 4 days, which on Highway S is going to be interesting, not to say the least, given the volume of traffic. But in the long run, I think we'll give up 4 days to get a new crossing there, because that's been going on for like 3 years now, trying to get the railroad to replace that. So
your S is 142.
Yes.
So if you that's what the county calls, so it's a major route.
Yeah, it's actually our highest volume county trunk highway now.
Jeez. Question?
Yes.
You spoke about signals at O and 50. Mm-hmm. How did this come up? I mean, that's wide open out there.
That's what we were wondering also. It kind of came out of nowhere. The DOT had a request to do a signal warrant analysis, and they did it, and they said that they're warranted and they're putting them in, and I'm anticipating a whole lot of complaining going on.
We think it came from the Wheeland Grade School partially?
Yeah, the traffic generated by the grade school is how the warrants were met, but it's such a small portion of the time. It's a bit of a mystery, to be honest with you. And,
yeah,
and I was quite
right
surprised.
There in Munster, I mean, not much further down the road. And
well, we got P and 83. Somebody told me 2 weeks ago about it, or asked me about it. I said, I know nothing about it. Gary was just told about it. And I personally think it's going to really irritate a lot of people on that way. So,
definitely.
You're going to have three of them. Boom, boom, boom.
That'll be one.
They operate in mysterious ways.
I mean, they're just asking for more accidents there because people are always trying to run that one by New Munster, you know, because they don't want to stop there. They want to get to Lake Geneva. They don't want to slow down.
Right.
It's going to be a big mess, I think. More accidents out there.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's all I can say.
There's hardly any cars there.
The only thing that would be hopeful is that they have all the detection in place and they have it all, the signal timing properly, so that it's just always green on 50 unless, you know, there's some traffic on O triggers the red light, but there is such a little bit of traffic on O that it probably won't be red that often on Highway 50, but I don't know. I'd like to give you an explanation. I just don't understand myself.
There's going to be more side impact accidents or people trying to run. Mm-hmm. Get through it before it turns red.
Right. I didn't have anything else.
All right. Any questions for you?
I see that they repaved E and it just came out that way, so it looks good. My question, because I didn't really drive on it before they paved, because I was, did they do the same grinding? Because I noticed just coming down, and this is kind of between 100th and the frontage road, there's still a few of those frost heaves that I can see. I know you can only do so much, right?
Before
you go through it. My concern is you spent all the time to repave it, and after next winter they're back, you know, because some of them were bad.
Yeah, and that's still the binder layer of asphalt on there, so there's still another layer that they need to put on.
Thank you. Looks good.
Yeah, it's getting there. And then they're also putting in a passing lane by the access to the Summers Grade School, too, at the same time.
So that is a big one.
Yeah, people will appreciate that.
See that.
Mm-hmm. Bill?
Just on that rail crossing on County Road S. 142. Was that done voluntarily by the railroad? Did we have to get the rail commissioner involved and have them order the railroad to have that work done?
We had to have the commissioner of railroads issue an order to the railroads. They did not do it voluntarily.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
We'll move on to John Rudy with Parks.
I have nothing to report on the KD master plan. So I'll look straight to the parks report. We have a nature center in Bristol Woods County Park. That farm, the main portion of the park, had originally been the Pringle Farm. And when we purchased that and adjoining lands to build a park, they donated the money to build a nature center there, and that's run by a nonprofit group at this time. But, and usually I receive their financials and their correspondence from them, but I have nothing to report on that. And at Katie Park, I have nothing to report for that. But under the current project list, right now we have a project going on down at Kemper Center, which is a reconstruction on the main campus of the parking lot, new storm sewer, new lighting, and then over when you move south to the Anderson Arts Center, we got the city to abandon 66th Street, which is a dead-end road, and we are reconstructing that road to add additional parking, and along with that was replacement of sidewalks, all new curbing gutters, so we're in a whole 9 yards. So where we're at with that right now is everything is pulverized, all the storm sewer is in, all but one downspout on the Simmons Gymnasium is connected, and that'll be connected when we hook up a 4-inch lateral water main. All the light bases are in. The wire is in for the lights underground, but the panels aren't installed. We did have to, the water mains are 100 years old, and it was noticed that the 4-inch was leaking, so the decision was made to replace
the big main coming in and the 4-inch lateral, the original estimate had come in at $80,000, but when we actually had the contractor bid it, it came at $34,000. So, and the problem with that is it runs right up the driveway under the pavement, right under the parking lot, so now would be the time to have to do it. We did get state approval to install that water main. The contractor is starting it tomorrow, starting digging. It shouldn't interrupt anything that goes on at Kemper other than there'll be a slight, probably half a day where they switch over from the old water main to the new. When the contractor was removing the pavement in what we call the archway between the Simmons Gym and the conference center, there's these buttresses. There's four of them on each of the corners. I think they were originally in place to keep like buggy wheels from banging into the building. But they are carved limestone, and some of them were only supported in place by the pavement that was in there. And once the pavement came out, they all fell away from the buildings. And we originally thought they were concrete, but they're not. They are hand carved. So the contractor says he can put them back in place with epoxy and restore them to look acceptable for the future. The pier, we removed the handicap fishing pier down there last fall, or late last summer. We did have to add riprap behind that, where that pier sat, because there isn't any substantial riprap here, and the wave action took it out, and we couldn't build a wall across. The Corps of Engineers wouldn't let us, so we had to put it back there. There are four legs underwater yet, four I-beams that have to be cut off down there. The rest of them are all off. Over on 66th Street, all the gutter, all the sidewalks, the driveway aprons, everything is in over there. They figure that this week they'll put the binder down, which is the first layer in paving road. And hopefully, if everything goes smooth, they'll put the top coat on as well, and that would be finished. So we remain hopeful there. It doesn't look like there's any rain in the forecast until Friday. So that's pretty much how it's going down there. Everything's going pretty smooth, except for the water main, which we have to step back on. Up at Brightdale Park, we have a lift station in the park that pumps the sewage from the park down to the treatment plant that is out on the golf course. The original lift station was put in about 1970. That was replaced and is operational right now. We're just waiting to do our final walkthrough and get the manuals for it. We already had staff trained to operate it, so that's all good. We are re-roofing the Fox River storage building. The bid's awarded. I'm just waiting to hear from the roofer when he's going to come and get started. Emerald ash tree removal, I have nothing to report any further on this, except that we have thousands of ash trees in our parks, and they all have emerald ash borer, and we put out bids, and we have a logger that's going to come in probably in November or December and remove them all. Part of his bid is that he gets to keep all the timber in exchange for a lot of labor he does. So the Silver Lake mountain bike trails, Corwa started working on the trails again in May as soon as things dried up, and they're still working on them. I will use the summer youth crew again this year to continue working on the trails, and I believe that by the end of October we should have the full 12 to 14 miles completed. I did partner up with the coach from the West Ocean mountain bike team to do, he calls it clinics, to teach youth about mountain biking, hopefully to build interest in the sport and also build high school mountain teams to get this in the area as a regular athletic thing in the high schools. The Ho-Chunk property, I still have not heard a thing from them. We did expect to receive a draft lease from them sometime in April or May, and we haven't, so that might be something that possibly will never happen. The Veterans Memorial by the flagpole at Petrifying Springs Park, we talked to CADCOM, and we couldn't get a person, so we have a cannon, we just haven't been told where to go get it and when, so we're still waiting on that. Building demolition and pets, we because the water and the electric for number 5 washroom in the park run through that building, we delayed the burning by the Summers Fire Department until this fall, until we can, because now we'd have to obviously put in the water line and the electric in the middle of the summer when it's in operation, so we asked them to hold off till the end of October to burn it. Lifeguards, if anybody here is certified, the lifeguard I'm hiring right now, so we're very short this year. I usually have 10, I'm calling it 5.5, because I've got 2 that can work some. So if you have friends that are certified, tell them $10 an hour and a $250 bonus to stay for the entire summer. The Revolutionary War reenactment this year is at Petrified Springs, and that is this Saturday and Sunday. Starts at 10 in the morning, it goes till 5 at night. There's food, cannons, muskets, all sorts of things going on, so you can stop out there, stop out. The grant status on I did get the 2 grants submitted, the one for the roads and parking lots, fishing pier, boat launch at KD, and I did submit one for the mountain bike trails at KD. Those are both stewardship grants, 50-50 match. I think they're strong grants, and we usually get a heads up on whether we're in the running around the end of July, early August. We did hire an assistant parks director. His name is Matthew Collins. He starts here next Monday, June 8th. He's my replacement. I'm here to work a year with him. I plan on retiring in July of 2017. So,
No rush, John.
But Matt is really good. I have his resume here. We interviewed him. He's energetic. He's done a lot of good things already. Currently, he's working as, it's called a Park Unit 2 supervisor, and he has all the parks in southeast Milwaukee County. I would compare him to our superintendents, who are just below me. But he's done a lot of good things. He's put together, he's actually levered over 7,500 hours of volunteer work in the parks up there. I mean, you should really read this. He just, it's unbelievable. He's very personable, and I have full confidence in his abilities. He went to UW-Whitewater, and his strength there was pretty much law enforcement, but he's went on to a lot of other things since then at MATC and other things, and he's finishing his MBA right now at Cardinal Stritch. We think by the math he's about 32 or 33 years old, because you can't ask that up front. He's got a 1-year-old daughter, he's married. But again, he's got outstanding credentials. He's a certified parks and leisure professional. I mean, it's all good. I'm really looking forward to working with Matt. I think he's going to take the parks to a whole new level. So we're excited to hear about it. We can't wait to get him here. So, and that's all I have.
Thank you, Jeff. Any questions for Jeff? All right, Dan.
Well, we've been following our business plan, and last week we sent out an email, or the 20th of May, I should say, we sent out an email blast to 67,000 people. We bought a 50,000 person list, plus our 17,000. We sent out an email blast to 67,000 people. So hopefully, that really does some good things for us for this summer. We had a couple of demo days. We had a Tour Edge and a Nike demo day, and just in those 2 days, we sold $4,000 worth of clubs. Plus, we've had residual sales since then. We've had about 50 people come out and get their clubs evaluated and check out the new technology, and I thought it was relatively successful. Our summer shootout is Saturday, June 13th, so that's our next event. We're also promoting our junior clinics right now. We have both the junior clinic, that's an 8-week program, Wednesdays and Thursdays at both golf courses, and then we also have our PGA Junior League, which we won the state championship last year, so that was a great accomplishment. So hopefully we'll have another good turnout for all of our junior programs. Very excited about the Caddy and Leadership Academy of Southeastern Wisconsin. That is going forward. We're having a testing day for about 12 to 15 kids on next Saturday that showed up and showed interest in becoming caddies. We have 12 to 15 that are coming back from last year. We hope to end up with about 24, 25 kids on the CADI program. It's you know, first of its kind for a publicly owned facility in the nation, so it could bring national recognition to our golf courses at Petrifying Springs, and so that's really a great accomplishment, I feel. We're receiving outstanding comments on the golf course conditions. We're using a roller at both facilities, Brightondale and Petrifying Springs, and the people are really enjoying the green conditions. Brightondale was always known as No Break Brightondale because the greens are pretty flat and everything, you just hit it straight, and now we're firming up the greens and they're speeding up a little bit, and now it's starting to take the curves in the greens, and people are really noticing and making, you know, us cognizant of that by bringing their comments to us, so that's great. We're off to a good start. For the season, we're ahead on season passes, on merchandise, on food and beverage, and rounds. But the biggest thing, you know, was we had a March this year. You know, where in the past couple of years we didn't have any golf in March, so that really has helped us. The last 2 weekends really hurt us. You know, Memorial Day, the 2 bad rainy days, Sunday, Monday, and then this last weekend there was almost nothing. You know, so tomorrow, I'm very excited. We're going to do a drone filming where I'm going to have a 2-minute video created for our website and possibly YouTube or something like that. We're going to have 2 30-second commercials. We're using AeroWorks, which is a local company out of Kenosha. They're coming out at 5:30 in the morning tomorrow morning, and they're going to do a sunrise on 10 White, and we're going to have the 3 mowers on the fairways going down, right in unison. So that's going to be, I think, a pretty dramatic shot. We're going to have the sprinklers going on the green, you know, just for some dramatics. And we're going to do 11 signature holes, 3 on the white, 3 on the blue, 2 on the red, and 3 at Petrifying Springs. So we're going to do the clubhouses, we're going to do some dining, we're going to do some golf shop shots. We're hoping to get stills and video out of this program, you know, so it's all coming out of our advertising, and I'm very excited. I mean, every time you put video on your website, they say the search engine optimization goes way up. So hopefully we'll have more hits on the website because we have this nice video made.
Don't touch the drone.
right. I'm not going to. I'll let the professionals handle that.
There was somebody injured this week reaching up at a concert and touching his drone.
Oh, really?
I think it was Enrique Iglesias. It was all bandaged.
So it.
Well, they have drones at his concert. It was hovering above his head, and he reached up, and the damn blades got him.
Wow. Yeah, it's all going to be in HD, too, so that should be, really
good. Well, I can't wait to see HD of 3 mowers going down there. Then leave it to a golf guy to get excited about it.
The projects that we're working on, whenever Gary's crew lightens up, we're going to try and get that maintenance shop done at Petrifying Springs. We purchased the new golf cars, so we have 144 cars at Brightondale and 64 at Pets. We're going to have the deep well at Brightondale Links renovated. We put the new variable drives inside at the Pets Pump House, and we're going to be updating some of the equipment and the fence for the sewage treatment plant at Brightondale. But I understand today I got the news that our flow meter's on its last legs, and that's another hefty expense in that sewer treatment plant, and then our griddle went down, at least two-thirds of our griddle went down at Pet, so that's going to be another expense that has been in operation since 1981, and we're just going to get it replaced. So those are the things that we're working on in golf.
Thank you, Dan. Any questions for Dan on anything?
You know, it seems not so long ago there was a proposal, you know, on the table to close a bunch of, but at Brightondale, right? But your activities seem to really just—it just seems like a distant memory now. What do you even entertain bringing back that type of thought or reticles, or are you pretty comfortable with the direction?
Oh, I'm real comfortable with the direction that we're going. I mean, in the last 3 years, we've ended up in the black, and the red is a lot of people's favorite golf course, and it's such a pleasure to have that, to be able to work with that, because when we get busy on Saturday and Sunday mornings, we can put our family golfers out there, we can put our beginners out there, we can put our nine-hole players out there and keep the pace of play moving on the blue and the white. I mean, that's one of our biggest problems at Petrifying Springs is just the perception of slow play and getting behind somebody that's teaching their family golf or something like that on a Saturday morning. It slows it down for everybody else, and it's more difficult to keep pets moving. The Rangers can only do so much. It's such a opportunity at Brightondale to be able to put our beginning players over on the red during those busy times.
Anything else for Dan? Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure.
Ray, are you going to close us out?
Yeah, I got two topics to cover. I'm going to start with the follow-up to the last meeting. They mentioned some stuff about the work crew. Dan and I worked to kind of quantify what the work crew has typically done the last few seasons out at the golf course. Was it both of them? And this is pretty straightforward spreadsheet that I think is actually fairly realistic. I think that it's conservative, but not like overly conservative. I think it's probably pretty reflective of the hours. And if you note the summary at the top there, there's about 13,000 hours a season that we've gotten a work crew. As these guys do their court-ordered community service, it's a substantial amount of labor that's gone into the improving the courses out there. Not just stuff out on the course that's real visible in terms of the brushing and some of the things that have really helped improve the speed of play, as Dan explains to me, as well as the mosquito situation, as well as the conditions for the turf itself, because airflow is better. They've done a lot of good on that side of it. They've also done a lot of routine maintenance stuff out there that's helped kind of keep the place looking a little extra better than it used to in years past when we didn't have their services. What we did is we put this together so that we had at least something we could kind of hang our hat on and say, this is actually what these guys have brought to the table from golf's perspective the last few years. We didn't do a spreadsheet for Mike. Mike's fortunately gotten a few guys this year, not near what we've had in the past, but we've got a few guys that are available only recently, really, to help out at a couple of the campuses with routine lawn work and cleanup and stuff. But the crews that we used to have at Pets and Brightondale were daily crews that were staffed with a supervisor, and we would average 6 to 8, I think, at Brightondale on any given day, and 5 to 6 at Pets on any given day. That's not happening this year. We haven't had a single work crew, I believe that's correct, a single work crew guy out at either of the golf courses this year. We put this together. I sat down with the exec 2 weeks ago to kind of go over it, so he had something that he could sit down with the sheriff and go over it, and more importantly, probably the judicial branch. I bumped into the sheriff actually last week at Bernie's going away party for his retirement, caught him for 5 minutes, and I said, what's going on from your perspective? And he explained to me that their jail population is down right now. And evidently, there's been a fairly aggressive move to alternative sentencing by the judges, which is probably a good thing overall, or has the potential to be a good thing, as long as hopefully we're keeping track of the statistical information to support, are these alternatives to what they've done in the past working? Are they actually working? Because the sheriff said even the bracelet program, which is one of those alternatives, even that one is down. They had projected, I think he said, 75 folks on the bracelets on average, and they're down in more in the 25 range. So as the level of crime that is normally associated with getting you a stint on the work crew has those are being, those types of folks are being diverted into other alternative types of programs. Hopefully that stuff is working, because in real terms, this is the kind of dollars and hours of labor that community service brought to the table just at the golf department. So the county exec, I know, is going to sit down. I believe he already sat down with the sheriff, and I'm expecting him to sit down with the judges as well, and kind of at least, you know, kind of, this is what we got. We just need to make everybody aware of and cognizant of what the impact is of trying something else out, because I don't think anybody really thought of that up front as they started to do some of this other stuff. We're still going to look at alternatives this year to try to come up with some cost-effective alternatives, but boy, it's pretty hard to come up with something cost-effective when this is all for free, basically. So that was the point of this. It's just so that the committee has an idea of what it is the work crew has done for golf operations in the past. Any questions?
Well, I just have a comment. I mean, this is exactly what we're looking for as a committee, so thank you very much for putting it together. I think there's a few different components here, but from the way I look at it is, as soon as those bracelets came in, we dried up in terms of having work crew available for us for downtown and for the golf courses. So maybe the census is down in general for these work release people. But I think as long as the current bracelet program is priced as it is, I think that's got to be a big component. That's got to be one of the most obvious things that can be addressed. I'm sure it will be addressed. But it's my opinion that we should have people who are willing to put in volunteer labor. We should have more of that, more volunteerism in Kenosha County. I'd like to see that happen.
Okay. Any other comments? Otherwise, I'm going to jump on to a couple other items. Something I don't believe the committee is aware of is late last year, I'm going to say roughly in the fall, there was a crack discovered in the pretrial building. Now, the pretrial building is the one that's directly east of the public safety building, the one that's connected with the bridge. Building was constructed, and a design work was substantially complete in about 1998. And the building was substantially complete in 2002, if I remember correctly. And there was cracks noted, there was a single crack that basically extends, it's in the southwest corner of the building. It goes from the basement all the way up to presumably the penthouse third floor. We could verify it at the second floor level. There's a lieutenant's office, I think, that we were in. There's a crack that you can see that goes, like I say, down to the basement. And we can't check in the penthouse just because of the way the walls are constructed up there. You can't see behind a facade to determine if that crack goes all the way up, but it probably does. In any event, we didn't know if it was something to be concerned about. It definitely didn't look normal to anybody that looked at it. There's also on all the precast panels, if you ever get a chance when you're down there, take a look, especially if there's been a rain. You'll notice there's little hairline cracks that run horizontally and vertically on virtually all of the precast panels on the outside of that building. Again, don't know if any of that's normal, not normal, but did some poking around two weeks ago in the old files, and found out, Wendy actually found an invoice from the precast panel manufacturer, and when I heard the name, I said, oh, that kind of rings a bell. I'm not sure why. I Googled it. It was the same manufacturer of the O'Donnell parking structure precast panels. So that made me nervous. So we basically, within a couple of days, I was able to get through the attorneys that handled that case to the forensic engineer that was the kind of star witness, key witness in that case, and he was up here last Tuesday. So we were able to get him up. He's located in Chicago. He went through the building with Mike and I, spent about 4 hours, that building and actually a parking garage as well, just to confirm some stuff. Good news is he didn't have any of those moments where he looked at something and said, holy crap. I mean, he looked at things like an engineer would, but there was nothing that I could tell blew his socks off. So we're getting all the original drawings and a bunch of information to him so we can kind of analyze to see if, in fact, there's anything to be concerned about or not. The goal is to get enough information put together so that if we do need to do any kind of remediation work, we can get something budgeted you know, get something pulled together and some options laid out prior to 2016 budget. That's absolutely the other side of it. We have the right, I'm confident we have the right guy, that if there's something that is determined that is not, wasn't correct from the beginning, we have the right guy looking at it.
But if people that don't know that the O'Donnell Park is the parking structure where these panels that we're talking about fell on a young man going to a Summerfest a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
This sounds about right, yeah.
And at O'Donnell Park, everything was shut down. So this is the same company who made these panels that made the panels that Ray has found.
So I feel good at least we got the right guy looking at it. We'll figure out if there's a problem or there's not a problem. We had him look at the parking structure as well, and he literally looked at it, and at a glance, he said with 100% certainty, it's a completely different construction technique. It has nothing like what was used up at O'Donnell.
So the new parking structure you're talking about?
Our parking structure, yep, down by the courthouse, yep. So that was good. We went over some PM stuff with him as well, and we're gonna look at what we need to do from a PM standpoint on the building. So that's just something to kind of be aware of. The other thing that we're going to be doing is the original lattice tower that's in the center of the public safety building roof has been overloaded and overlooked for a number of years. When we did the public safety building expansion, we did a quick look at that because we knew we were going to have to add some antennas. And we did enough of analysis to know that that wasn't going to be the place we could do it. We added them onto the monopole that's just to the north of the building down there. Well, now we're coming back and doing a full analysis on that because we do have still a significant amount of equipment on that building, probably more IT-based at this point for Sheriff's Department 4.9 communications systems. In any event, we're going to do an analysis on that to see if what it makes sense to do with that tower going forward. The towers was put up in 81, 82, so from a life standpoint, probably with some work, it can be extended into the future, probably another 20 to 30 years. But exactly what that work would be, I don't know. So we're going to have somebody look at that as well. Next thing I'm going to cover is roofs. Everybody, I think, is aware that most all of the major new construction the county did, I'm going to say new in the last 20 years, was done between 1993 and 1998, most of it. This building, the old Tops building was remodeled in that time frame. Brookside was put up in that time frame. The pre-trial building was put up just outside of that time frame. Well, all those buildings are now about the same age, and a lot of the key infrastructure things are coming due as far as roofs are all suspect. This roof here leaks considerably on the shop, not so much over here, thankfully. So what we're going to do is we've got a consultant that we're looking at that's written a lot of our bid specifications in the past. He's very good. Technically, it's a national firm that knows roofing. We're going to try to put together a master schedule for all of our building roofs and, more importantly, try to break kind of the cycle. If we can determine some activities that we can do on some of these roofs to extend the life of them, some of them, maybe 5 to 10 years, then we can maybe break the cycle and start to spread out and level load our roof load going forward so we don't have the same 20-year itch that everything needs to be replaced. I'm going to try to break that up. So we just met with him last week. He's actually coming in next week with a proposal on things, and I'm hoping we'll be able to put something together so we can get something to the point where we can at least start to plan for things in 2016 budget and going forward.
I thought that the roof and some other things were fixed more recently over at the Human Services building since it's been transferred from the arcade, theater, and other things. I thought that was newer than the rest of them.
The whole roof was done at one time, entire roof.
Okay, so that was done back in the 90s.
Mike was a building chief at that one, so I defer completely to his knowledge.
Entire roof. Took a whole year. $750,000.
And that was
quite a thing to witness day after day. Barbecues up on the roof and everything.
For the crews.
Yeah,
really?
Oh yeah.
Interesting.
It became quite a routine.
So
day after day.
We're basically going to try to put together a master plan for all of those, all the roofs, so we can have a better way of managing things going forward. We're going to do the same thing with rooftop units and shell, what you want to call it, building envelope. This building, if everybody remembers, was caulked. Precast buildings need to be caulked on the seams, all the joints. This one was done about 3 years ago now, 4 years ago. And those you typically will have, I think this has a 15 or 20 year guarantee on it, or life expectancy. But some of the other buildings haven't been done yet. So we're going to start to get our hands around all that and have kind of a master plan for that. And one of the other things was John indicated that we've got an assistant parks guy coming on board June 8th. We're still in the process of that, looking for somebody for the highway department. We've got a guy that we did make an offer to last week. We're waiting to hear back from him this week. I don't want to give too much information just because obviously his employer doesn't know what's going on yet. This guy would appear to be a really solid candidate. He's got an undergraduate degree in engineering, civil engineering from Platteville, a master's in civil engineering from Marquette, and has worked in a highway operations capacity, management capacity, for about 4 years. So he would be a really solid candidate. We'll see. I'm hoping that we can pull him in. So that's where that thing's at. And the last piece we've got, Dennis, is that bike resolution for, and I don't have that with me, but I, Wendy's got it. Okay, good.
Yeah, you got the original. We saw that copy of that.
Yeah.
Okay, that came in the pack.
Well, there was a national bike to work with, and Wisconsin's people changed it for the weather to June 6th or 13th, Wisconsin bike day. That's what this resolution is. Everybody's read that one? Got a chance to read it? But we need a motion to approve that and go to the county board tomorrow.
So moved.
Supervisor Green, Supervisor Frederick. Any discussion? If not, you the governance.
Aye. Aye.
The committee?
Aye. Aye.
So we will bring that to the board tomorrow. And we have to sign it. That's basically the only thing on the agenda tomorrow. Don't remind me. Because otherwise that might not even gone, but man, that is. It is. No, I'm going for another reason. I'm not going to say what it is. Anything else for you?
I'm covered, I think, from my end.
Good deal. So we have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Supervisor Bruce, to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next month.